And now, brothers and sisters, our opening scripture from the Gospel of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 6. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built. O Virgin Israel, again you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. And now, brothers and sisters, our gospel lesson this morning. From the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised, as he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message to you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. This is the good news. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this Easter Sunday, we gather together in a strange way, in a different way. Be with us as we listen, as we hear your word, as it moves within and through us. Be with us as we seek to be your people in this broken world, in this hurting world of ours. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Amen. So this is what Easter in a COVID-19 world looks like. As I sat down on Ash Wednesday and mapped out Lent and then Easter and tried to formulate some sort of a plan for how worship was, I don't think I even in the very deep depths of my mind thought this is where we would be. As far back as several weeks ago, I did begin wondering about how our celebration of Easter and Holy Week might be affected. And then, well, here we are. I was hoping that this would be a very meaningful time for us. I was hoping that these past few days would be very meaningful for all of you. And if they weren't, I'm sorry. And if they were, make sure to give thanks to the tech committee for their assistance and help and their efforts. Because without them, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. Brothers and sisters, we are challenged today to embrace the resurrection, to embrace the challenges that are this world in which we live in, and still maintain where we are as God's people. So let us lean on God in this time and trust that there will be a day, though we might not know when it is, when we will gather together in our sanctuary again. Now, in our scripture today, we find two women headed to the tomb, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And yes, we could debate endlessly about why she's the other Mary, but again, often in scripture we get caught up in little pieces that distract. Now, what do we know of this moment? We know that these women don't know what's going to be. They're headed to the tomb, but the tomb has a rock blocking it. Guards that might turn them away. In the backs of their heads must have been the question, who will roll the stone away? Who will let us in to see our Lord? In our heads, there are other questions. Why are they going? Why isn't one of the disciples joining with them to perhaps help them or go with them? What are they going to do when they get there? What are their expectations? Are all questions which we might have as we go forward. But then suddenly, as ours and their worlds are filled with questions, comes an earthquake as an angel of the Lord descends from heaven and rolls back the stone and sits upon it. Now, Matthew describes this and makes descriptive moments of it. But really, for me, the real description is not in what Matthew tells of the angel, but what in Matthew he tells of the response to the angel. You see, in my head, I can imagine an angel descending. I can think about what that would be. But then I read that next part, that the guards who were watching the tomb were shaken and like dead men. These men would have not just been your average person off the street. These would have been Roman legionnaires. These are men who had faced rebellions throughout the empire. These are men who every time they set foot outside the fort, their lives are threatened throughout Israel. They are hardened and harsh people, and they are shaken by the appearance of this angel. Think about that. These men who have been through battles, through rebellions, are shaken by the appearance of the angel. These men who didn't build an empire for Rome by playing nice and being nice are shaken and like dead men. See, that's the true vivid part of this imagery that Matthew uses. The image that these men have been shaken to this point. To be honest, my own mind is kind of lost in what could shake the appearance, the depth, the scope of what could shake these men and shake them. Now, often we infer in this moment that the women were a ways away and miles away. And yet, in Matthew's telling, it is as if the women were right there. As soon as the angel descends, he speaks to the women. Now, we don't get their response. They are not described as like dead people, like the Roman soldiers. We can only guess that they are at least surprised and shaken. But instead of focusing on how these women receive and where they are, let us focus instead on the message of the angel. Now, years ago, shepherds were greeted by angels with a similar statement. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't worry. I am not here for bad news. I am bringing the greatest of news to you. This is a great and amazing moment for them. Now, I understand that the angel saying, don't be afraid here, is a bit like driving down the highway with your spouse and all of a sudden smoke starts billowing from the hood, the dashboard starts lighting up like a Christmas tree, and all of a sudden everyone just says, oh, this might be a problem. The reality here is that this is an amazing moment, and it is an understatement to believe that this is ordinary and not extraordinary. It's frightening, and yet, here we have the disciples, the believers, who are here with the angel. And they are given a message. Not just any message, but they are told to go and tell the disciples. They are told to go and tell them what they have seen. They are told to go and speak in spite of their being frightened, in spite of their worry, in spite of their care. They are told to go and tell. God chooses how this happens. God chooses this moment and how it works. Could God have done it differently and had a huge crowd? Yes. And yet God chooses these women to be his bearers of this message. But there's another half to this message. Not just Christ is risen. The second half is to go and tell others. Think about it. If the ladies who were at the tomb had simply just seen and bore witness, it would have been a great and tremendous moment. But it wouldn't have been all there is. Instead, the truth is that they are to go and tell of the power of Christ. Tell of the greatness that Christ has emptied the tomb and risen from the grave. Go and tell. That's the twofold message of Easter. That Christ is risen and that we are to tell others that Christ has risen. That's the key. We are to tell the world of the good news. Tell the world that Christ has been victorious over death. Tell the world that death is no longer the final power in our lives. We are to tell the good news that Christ has finally had victory over death. Last week I mentioned the idea that Palm Sunday was less of a triumphal entry and more of a fighter entering the ring, preparing for that fight, preparing for that moment. Well, guess what? That fight has happened. And Christ has stood in the ring and is victorious. But instead of just saying, "Woo, Christ is risen," and that being the end of it, we are called to bring and bear that message that Christ is risen, that Christ triumphed. Today isn't just a day of hope, it's a day of celebration. We are celebrating Christ's victory. Now, normally we gather together with family and friends. Normally we hunt for Easter eggs all over this county. I remember commenting not long ago about how many Easter egg hunts there were, and is it actually possible for kids to go to each and every one? It might be. But the reality is that things are different. Normally we look at a chancel covered with flowers on this day. There are certain sights and smells of Easter that might be missing this year. We might miss the smell of chocolate and jelly beans. We might miss the smell of flowers. We might miss the smell of a good ham in the oven. Normally today looks and is a certain way as we celebrate the hope, as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. But this is not a normal Easter. The challenge today is not how are we going to go and visit with 18 different family members in one day. The challenge today is how are we going to be respectful of the laws that keep us separate, and how are we going to still have worshipful and meaningful time of celebration with those we care about? How do we keep the spirit that gathers us together with family and friends normally? How do we keep that spirit alive? How do we keep the spirit of Easter going with these constraints that we live in? How can we allow children to celebrate today and experience this without them gathering together in a huge herd to run off and grab as many plastic eggs as they can? How do we live together and be together and celebrate together today? The key truly is by allowing ourselves to see that Easter isn't just about the celebrations, the ways we have celebrated, and is more about what we are celebrating. Yes, it's wonderful and good to have the various and sundry ways we celebrate. It's great to have Easter baskets. It's great to have Easter ham. It's great to gather together over the table with family and friends and enjoy them today. But the truth is, today is about the resurrection. It's about Christ's triumph over death. It's about the triumph over sin. It's about hope, brothers and sisters, today. And that's how we celebrate. We celebrate by keeping hope alive, by keeping our celebrations alive, by contacting loved ones, by still keeping the spirit that we gather together alive. It's up to us, the church, to be a people of hope through this time. It's up to us to help and hope for a world which we are on the other side of this virus. Today we celebrate that Christ is risen. Today we gather together and celebrate the hope that exists. Today, we shake our fists at this virus and say, we are still here, we are still worshiping, we are still God's people, and Christ beat your behind years ago, and we will be through this. Today is a day of hope. So celebrate this hope. It's going to be different. But it won't be any less meaningful if we make sure to make it so. So let God be with you as we gather. Let God hold you close as you struggle today. And may we gather together as the disciples once did later, in another place, in another time, with Christ resurrected. Brothers and sisters,